So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Michael Moskowitz is an author and he is a physician, a board-certified doctor in both psychiatry and pain medicine. He's the co-author of Neuroplastic Transformation. It's a workbook sold in 50 countries. His website relative to that is the number one searched website about this in the world. He is also a practicing physician in the San Francisco area where he treats many of his persistent pain patients with medical cannabis. Doctor, you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, we've got it right here in Illinois, at least, in that we are allowing doctors to, I think prescribe is the wrong word, but you can get marijuana to treat your pain here in Illinois. That's a good thing, right?
I believe so, yes.
And 40-some states have that now. Almost makes you wonder why 10 of them don't.
Well, it actually is up to 44 states in the District of Columbia, and six of them don't.
Yeah.
The reason it doesn't exist in the other states is because this is an individual state's issue, and those states deemed it something that they weren't ready to get into yet. Sometimes that's because of cannabis being what it is, and sometimes it's just because they don't have the administrative wherewithal yet to actually run a vast program like this. It's a very difficult thing to run medically.
Well, do we know how to use it?
From a recreational standpoint.
Do we know how to use it medically? I wonder about that. I mean, if a doctor says, oh boy, the pain's really bad, go get some medical marijuana. Are there different strains? Are there different prescriptions? Are there different doses? I wonder how good we are at recommending and using it that way.
Well, for one thing, physicians aren't, as a group, particularly good at the specifics of the treatment, but they are the ones in every state that has any kind of legalization of medical cannabis. They're the ones tasked with certifying people. You're right, we can't write a prescription, so we can't say on a prescriptive paper, get this strain, use it this way, take it three times a day, etc., and go to a pharmacy. People are certified. They go to usually to dispensaries when there are those that exist in the state, or they do something online to receive the treatment. But at that point, in most places and with most patients, the physician role kind of fades out until they have to recertify the patient, usually in a year.
But who's guiding the patient then when they go to the dispensary?
Usually it's the bud tenders, as they're called in the dispensary, and these are the people that actually are the salespeople for the cannabis, and they generally have no medical training, and they don't really understand the science underneath this, which is rich and deep, and anyone who says it isn't hasn't looked.
Well, what do you make of that process?
You mean the way that it's played out?
Yeah, I mean, that strikes me as being a little...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, finish your point.
It's why I wrote my book. The problem was, in the beginning of this, working with my patients with it, I was doing the same thing. I was sending them to a dispensary. I didn't really know what to advise them because I had never been taught anything specifically about this. I knew a lot of the science behind it, and I felt confident that this was a reasonable treatment. But it became apparent to me quickly that walking into a dispensary for people that are not used to using cannabis is a terrifying experience. It's overwhelming. The products there are indecipherable. They have wild and colorful names, which I personally enjoy, but they don't tell you anything about how that strain works or doesn't work. And there really is a vast difference between different strains because there are 9 active plant cannabinoids that have been determined clearly in basic science studies and excellent research published in the best journals to have medicinal properties.
Does it work? Does it treat symptoms or ease pain? I mean, how pronounced or productive would you say marijuana is this way?
Well, let me give you a little example of a prospective study that I've been running in my practice for the last 20 months. So the patients that I've treated with this, I've kept their a separate record in a database to look and see specifically at how they managed pain, stress, the sleep, quality of life, energy and focus, and then if patients were on opioid medications, what percentage lowered their medication? So of the 161 patients I followed out over this period of time, what we found was that 87% had reduced pain. That reduction of pain wasn't just people saying that their pain was reduced. 68% of them reduced their opioid medications, with 11% coming off completely. I have a very complicated pain practice. This is not a general pain population. My people have had pretty serious injuries, and most of them have had multiple surgeries and have a lot of residual pain, and that's why we're treating them. So that number was phenomenal. And as far as sleep's concerned, 83% had better sleep, 73% had less stress, 76% reported better quality of life. Most interestingly, energy, 53% reported improved energy, and 43% reported improved focus. I thought those were going to be negatives, and of those two, only, I think, 7.1% and 7.8% were worse.
Hmm.
So this has been a phenomenal treatment, and it's helped me massively reduce the opioid use that our patients were having to use to control their pain, and it's certainly been quite a boon. The other big thing is that cannabis has no lethal dose, and so if you look at this whole opioid crisis that's going on in the country, the problem with opioids, there are several problems, but one of the worst ones is that they have the potential to kill people. Cannabis does not, period, and that is really another remarkable thing. The other big thing I'd say is if you start expanding out, not just looking at the different strains, but also the different presentations of how these things can be used, from being smoked and vaporized to being rubbed in a cream or directly on the skin, it isn't an infinite treatment. And so to say medical cannabis works or medical cannabis doesn't work is silly. It's what works for what condition and under what circumstances and how you get it to work.
Yeah. I wanted to describe for you a scene where a friend of mine, a person I know, I wouldn't say we're close friends, but anyway, in Colorado, he works at a store that sells recreational marijuana. And some of the symptoms that people come to him for are the very ones which you as a medical doctor are prescribing the medicine for, right? So people come in and say, well, I have high energy or low energy, or I have pain, or I can't sleep, or I'm really anxious right now. And then they talk about the different kind of pot they can buy there with wild names, and it's kind of fun, and he feels like he's getting good at it. But this is the recreational retail of it. Talk to me about what you think of that, and what do you think of Illinois getting into that business in a minute on WGN Radio. By the way, Sister Jean's press conference was one for the ages. She holds court in San Antonio. Details on that also in 11 minutes on WGN. We're talking to the author of Medical Cannabis. Michael Moskowitz is in the San Francisco area. He is a pain management physician who frequently treats his Bay Area patients with medical cannabis. Just before the break, I asked him to talk a little bit about people I know who are selling it retail for recreational purposes. Talk a little bit about that, Michael. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks. Look, you know, my view of this is that I'm an expert on the medical use of it. As far as recreational use of it, I have opinions. And my opinion is that the greatest public health crisis that we've created is by making this a Schedule I drug comparable to heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine. And we've put, you know, literally millions of people in jail for possession of this, where in other states, people walk into a dispensary and buy it to treat their medical conditions. To me, that is the worst public health crisis that we've created out of this whole thing. And I think the people that have been imprisoned for possessing this should be released yesterday. This is a terrible tragedy, and 4 out of 5 of these people that are imprisoned are people of color. And so, to me, this is just the epitome of an unjust and overly punished set of laws that have existed across the country. So I certainly am not against the idea of this being legalized and recreational cannabis being used, But the goals of recreation are completely different than the goals of medical. You know, in recreation, people want to be altered, and in medical, they want to get well. Sometimes those two kind of have a place where they cross each other and where they both are involved. But, you know, if you look at the various strains that people use, they're all about high THC and recreational, and they're about high CBD, CBDA, THCA, THC, et cetera, in medical. It doesn't have to be smoked in medical, and almost always it's either smoked or ingested.
Do your patients get high, doctor?
Some do, but it's not. The whole goal of medical is to teach people how not to get high, so that this can be a viable treatment that they can use around the clock.
Yeah.
So some people reserve getting high for in the evening when they're home, or just for getting THC in their system because it's an outstanding analgesic. It's, I think, probably the best anti-neuropathic pain medicine I've ever seen.
Listen to this.
Doing this for 40 years.
Well, this texter said, I smoked pot for 30 years every day. 15 years ago, I quit for work. I got high a couple of weeks ago, though, with an old buddy, and the pot these days is way too strong to legalize it. That's all I got to say. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that, you know, he certainly exceeded his limit of what he was comfortable with on the amount of THC he had. But that can be regulated even with today's pot by just using less. Again, this kind of points out the difference between medical and recreational. Most medical users want to make sure that they can use this without getting high. And I would say, you know, there's a whole range of THC levels in these plants. We've got some that are super high at 21%. Probably in the old days, they were more like 9 or 10%. And now we've also got some that are super low, that are down at 0.3% of THC. And they've got super high levels of CBD or THCV or some of these other active medical cannabinoids that do not get you high.
Hmm.
And so the goal of this, again, is to really sit down and figure out a plan of how to use this without being stoned. And when we treat people medically, we titrate this up usually in tinctures in either alcohol or oil, tinctures that they can take orally, drop by drop by drop. And so we can kind of find that spot where people are not having effects they don't want to have and are beginning to have the effects they do want to have.
Medical Cannabis is the book. Michael Moskowitz, MD, MPH, is the author. It's a guide for patients, practitioners, and caregivers. If you are at all anywhere near this business as a patient or as a practitioner, this is the book you should have. And we'll visit again, Michael. I appreciate your time this afternoon. Obviously, this subject's just ramping up here in Illinois, so we will be in touch.
Okay. I enjoyed talking to you.
Michael Moskowitz, MD. It's 151. Again, the book is Medical Cannabis.